24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio. Always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. This is Dr. Herbert Harris, author of the 12 Universal Laws of Success. I am your transformational speaker and trainer. We've written 8 books, had our books translated into many languages. We are now engaged in transforming the lives of 1 million people, helping them to be what they want to be, do what they want to do, and have whatever they want to have by attracting and creating wealth, living their dreams, and realizing their purpose and destiny. The concept of the Millionaire Mentorship Show is that wealth, success, and all things come to us based on consciousness. The spiritual principle, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Kingdom is consciousness or awareness. The purpose of the Millionaire Mentorship Show is to help develop the consciousness of wealth, health, success, prosperity, and money to attract these things into your life. If you want to attract health, wealth, success, prosperity, and money into your life, you are in the right place. I would like to thank our listeners for turning our program into a great success, for sharing it with others. With your support, you have made us the number one new program on the Bashani Network. Without listeners like you, we can never do the things we do. I appreciate you greatly. Continue to listen, share with your friends, and subscribe to our program. Send your questions and comments to herbert@herbertharris.com. I would like to share some of them on the air. Also, be sure to visit our website, www.herbertharris.com, for tips and tools to help you live your dreams. I'd like to open with an inspirational story. This is a story about encouragement. As a group of frogs were traveling through the forest, 2 of them fell into a deep pit. When the other frogs crowded around the pit and saw how deep it was, they told the 2 frogs there was no hope for them. They would not be able to get out. However, the 2 frogs decided to ignore what the others were saying, and they proceeded to try and jump out of the pit. Despite their efforts, the group of frogs at the top of the pit were still saying, "You just should give up, throw in the towel. You'll never make it out of that pit." Eventually, one of the frogs took heed to what the others were saying, and he gave up, falling down to his death. The other frog continued to jump as hard as he could. Again, the crowd of frogs yelled at him to stop the pain and just die. As he looked at the frogs yelling at him, he jumped even harder, and finally he made it out of the hole. When he got out, the other frog said, "Didn't you hear us?" The frog explained to them that he was deaf. He thought they were encouraging him, the entire time. The moral of the story, people can have a big effect on other people's lives. Their words can change or can make the difference between life and death. So think before you say. Think about what you say before it comes out of your mouth. Our theme for today is the power of encouragement. I picked that theme because our guest today is one who has been encouraging to so many people who strive for excellence. Our quote for today is, always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. I'll repeat that. Always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. This is a perfect lead into our guest. Stedman Graham is a successful American author, speaker, educator, and businessman. He is a much sought-after motivational speaker to major corporations and educational institutions. Stedman is a graduate of Hardin Simmons University in Texas with a degree in social work. He played college basketball, semi-pro and pro basketball in the United States and in Europe. Stedman received a master's degree in education from Ball State University in Indiana. He pursued a career in public relations, representing well-known artists, including Maya Angelou and Winnie Mandela, the former wife of Nelson Mandela. Stedman founded the Athletes Against Drugs, AAD, a youth-oriented nonprofit organization in Chicago that has helped thousands of young people and funded over $1.5 million in scholarships. He is the CEO of S. Graham & Associates, a management and consulting firm that specializes in education and corporate marketing. His clients include Merrill Lynch, Harvard Business School, Apollo Group, Monster.com, the U.S. Departments of Education and Labor. Stedman Graham is also a best-selling author of 11 books. His books deal with self-help, motivational, and sports management. Graham has been an adjunct professor at some of the United States' top universities, including the University of Illinois, Northwestern University, and Full Sail University. Wow, today our guest is the incredible, the incomparable, a person I'm honored to know and who has really blazed the trail for so many people in so many ways, the incredible Stedman Graham. Welcome, Stedman.
Oh, man, I'm glad you're my cousin. You know, it's amazing.
It's all about family.
You look so fantastic. Man. Tell me about
that product. Oh, man, Protandim. Protandim. Montel Williams introduced it to me.
Okay.
Protandim has kept me, I've been on it for 8 years. My hair stopped getting gray. My energy level, I used to dye my hair, quit dying. My energy level is up, and I am ready to roll. I mean, it has been incredible.
Every time I see you, and it's been two years. You look fantastic. So whatever you're doing, keep doing.
And I'm going to get you some today.
I want some.
Well, you know, Stedman, so many times people know you from like television and whatnot, but I think, you know, a little about your background, you know, because we're family here, we know a little more, but I think the world really wants to know, like, where Stedman Graham came from, some of that.
Well, of course, you know, it's a great place to talk about that because we're at the family reunion, and we're descendants of the Spalding family, and I happen to be a Graham, and my father's mother was a Spalding, mm-hmm. which is, ties us in. And I'm also part of the Jacobs family. Mm-hmm. And so You know, we came from North Carolina, Lake Waccamaw, Columbus County, Farmers Union, all of that good stuff. And so my mother and father migrated up to New Jersey, Whitesboro, New Jersey. George H. White, who was part of our family, came up and started an all-black town.
Wow.
And called the town Whitesboro.
Appropriate.
Right? And wanted to bring family members up to kind of build their own and create their own so they wouldn't be held back by the oppressive system in place.
Yes, yes.
They kept a lot of African Americans and Native Americans down. So he wanted us to build businesses and create opportunities for ourselves and, you know, have our own schools and all of that, in which we accomplished a lot of that. We had a lot of businesses. We had our own school, which we still have today.
Wow.
It's we moved up to the county. It's not as segregated as it used to be, but you know, we had our own teachers and we supported that through our own businesses and all of that. So we're very successful, and it still exists today. And we started an organization called Concerned Citizens that was founded by five people. To include myself, and now it's very successful. Yeah, we're celebrating our 30-year anniversary of organizing our own town and representing ourselves. And since then, we've gotten streetlights and sidewalks, and you know, we running water and all the things that normal communities should have that we didn't have before. So we had to represent ourselves to be able to go up to the county to be able to steer some of that money to our own community. Again, because it was necessary to represent ourselves and speak up for ourselves and have a voice for ourselves, which is often so missing when it comes to, you know, African Americans and people of color.
Yes.
You know, they don't have their own representation. So, again, we carried on the legacy of George H. White. And so my parents were, you know, very hard workers. My father was a businessman. He was a contractor, painter. And we painted a lot of houses in South Jersey, in Wildwood, Cape May area, which is a beautiful area. And my mom worked at the state school. She worked hard. She sold clothes on the side. We sold fish. We did odd jobs, you know, because in New Jersey on the East Coast, you do whatever you can.
You do whatever it takes. Wow.
And so that was a great experience for me. We cut lawns and cut trees. And I worked with my father.
You did whatever it took.
I did whatever it took. It was so much fun as I look back at it now.
Yeah.
Before it was work.
Uh-huh. Now, is there any particular person who was really a great influence to sort of guide you onto the next level?
I had many role models. First of all, I had a great family. And it's part of the reunion we're having now. This is our, you know, we've been doing this since '82, the reunions.
Right.
And it's great to see our family members. And again, because my extended family was so strong, as part of the Fast Baldwin descendants and the Grahams and the Mitchells and the Moores and the Freemans and, you know, the Smiths and all of that, you know, because we had such an extended family and so many family members well accomplished.
Wow. Yes.
And we had, you know, our claim to fame is we started the North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance, largest, you know, African-American life insurance and company in the world.
Yes, something.
And still today it exists.
Yes.
And we had judges and lawyers and doctors and teachers and all of that. So when you talk about role models and who was my role model, I had so many. And back then, we had our own teachers who really worked with us to try and get us to be twice as good than anybody else and encouraged us to be the best we could possibly be. And so we had old school, traditional values that were solid. We were taught principles and we competed very much with ourselves to try to be better than anybody else we were associated with. So that also, we had that inbred competition, you know, so to speak, to be competitive. So all of the role models around me, so many encouraged us to be the best we could possibly be.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about that, I was doing a little research, and you know, I said, well, Stephen's tall. Until we actually met, I had no idea how tall you were. And I said, he must have played sports. Were you a sports
player? Yeah, of course. I mean, uh-huh. Basketball was really my way out.
Okay.
So, I mean, my father and mother, they were hard workers and all of that. But basketball was like, man, that was my way to college because I wasn't really high on education because I was a ball player.
Yeah.
That wasn't my focus. I wanted to be a professional ball player, of course, as a lot of athletes want to be. And so basketball gave me the opportunity to, you know, improve my self-esteem, and give me confidence. And, you know, as an athlete, you know, you can handle yourself physically.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a certain amount of confidence that comes with that. And then to be able to take that skill beyond high school and play in college and then play in the pro league over Europe allowed me to see so many things that I wouldn't have been able to see if I hadn't been able to have the opportunity to play in other places. It gave me the opportunity to be in the service. I was in the service. I had a unique situation. I was in Europe, played U.S. Army ball, played for them, and I played for the Germans at the same time. I got my master's in education through the GI Bill. I was able to travel around the world, see things. And so that was like basketball was, it was the foundation of my ability to do all of the work I've done now, to write 11 books and to, you know, have a few, two New York Times bestsellers and all that. It gave me the foundation for exposure. And so I'm so thankful for that skill.
Yes.
And for the opportunity that presented itself to me because of that.
Well, you know, so many young people now want to go into some kind of professional sports.
Yeah.
And I love the way you put it, that basketball was your way out. But it seems that you were able to really use it. You know, you didn't just play basketball. You did a lot. Is there any advice you'd give the young people who have some skills, want to go pro and have some visions of being a great star, that kind of a plan A and B?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a great question, Herbert. I think you should look at it as a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many skills that you can obtain. There's a thing called life skills.
Oh, yes.
What are your life skills? What are your leadership skills? What value can you create? So I never wanted to be just a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a basketball player plus other things.
Yes.
So I worked hard to learn other things, including basketball. So that was one of the multifaceted things that I tried to do to include the other things that I put in my repertoire, so to speak. So I wanted to kind of be well-rounded is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And so it's a great opportunity to be able to have basketball and then to write books and to, you know, have your own business and to travel around the world and to see things and to have a nice network of folks and to be able to kind of understand who you are.
Wow.
So when you understand who you are, then you can take information, you know how to take information in education, and you make it relevant to your development.
Yes.
As opposed to giving everything away in the end when it's all run out, you don't have anything.
Wow.
When basketball's over, you don't have anything.
Yeah, I see. You got to be prepared.
You got to be prepared. You got to have what you just said, an A plan, a B plan, a C plan, a D plan, the E plan.
Wow. Well, Stephen, let us take a little break. You know, in New York, we call it the pause for the cause.
You're right.
And so let us take a little break. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, and anywhere mobile devices are available. We're continuing now with an interview, and I think that one that's really going to help a lot of people that Stedman Graham has just been such a larger-than-life figure. So just to be able to sit in the room with him today, I mean, I've been working on this for a while, man. I commandeered you. And
well, remember, you're my cousin.
That helps a lot. Well, you know, Stedman, I saw you wrote a book on sports management.
Sports marketing, sports management. Really was the ultimate guide to sports event management and marketing. Uh-huh. Was my first book.
Okay.
So that's where I cut my teeth on writing and developing other books. I taught sports marketing at Kellogg.
Oh, okay.
School of Business for 5 years.
Okay.
Many people don't know that. And so that allowed me to build a foundation in the college market and to be able to go in and actually be adjunct professor in other universities.
Yeah.
Because of that. So I learned a lot, because you got to put the curriculum together. You got to, you know, you got to teach the class. You got to be prepared for all of that. Mm. You know, so it really is a great exercise in the academic world. Mm-hmm.
So once again, say for some of the young athletes, I guess so many people approach them, want to manage them, want to be their agent. Is there any advice you could give them?
I would say the advice I would give anybody, uh-huh, particularly athletes, is to learn your business.
Mm.
Is to learn your business on the court, and off the court.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give anybody access to your brand,
mm,
total access to your brand, a total access to all of your money, mm-hmm, and total access to how you're going to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to do that.
Yes.
Learn how to handle yourself. Learn the business side of sports. Learn the business side of business.
Yes.
You know, learn about your brand development. Learn about how you're going to position yourself. Learn about your skills. Learn about your talents. Learn everything you possibly can learn so that you can have your own voice and be able to represent yourself. Then go out and get other experts.
Okay.
Then get other people to help you, or simultaneously learn from them.
Yes.
At the same time that they are representing you.
Yes.
So that you have some knowledge about who you are and be able to parlay that knowledge and leverage that knowledge into the next level that you're going to.
Beautiful. And so that's a great point, because if you don't learn your craft, if you're relying on other people all the time, you're always at a disadvantage.
And you don't know. So it's all about the information. What I learned is that, you know, we suffer from a lack of knowing how.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process for understanding how to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can tell you to do it. You know, it's great to come up with an idea, but how do you actually execute that idea? I travel around the world teaching people identity, teaching people how to find out who they are. And I learned that so much from not knowing who I was as a person and searching for equality in my life.
Yes.
Where's equality in my life? And of course, you know, most people know my relationship with Oprah. I have to mention that. Otherwise, you know, this interview is not relevant. You know? So, you know, how I was defined by my relationship and defined by my color and defined by my family and defined by my where I lived and all of that. And so, you know, throughout the years, other people try to define you.
Mm.
And so what I've learned is not how the world defines you, but how you define yourself. But you need the tools of understanding how to do that.
Mm.
So my advice to people that I work with and teach through my books and my material is there's a process for success.
Mm.
And the process starts with understanding your talents, your skills, your abilities, and what you love, organizing that. So you can define who you are, develop an identity for yourself, and then create a vision for who you want to become and a plan for who you want to become, and be able to, you know, the whole process I take people through to get them to understand how to self-actualize themselves and change the way they think and feel about themselves by changing the learning process around. Right now, you can't possibly learn the way the system is set up. because the system is set up and designed to make you a slave.
Mm.
It's a follower system. It's a worker system.
Yes.
So when I learned that you have to transform your life from a worker to a leader, or a follower to a leader, to create a system for yourself that is relevant to your development inside of a system, often that is oftentimes set up for average people.
Mm. Mm.
So if you want to be above average, or you want to get beyond the average system, you got to set up your own system.
Yes.
So this is why I created this 9-step success process. And this is why I focus on identity development as a foundation to teach people how to organize and self-actualize their talents, abilities, and skills that they have.
Well, that book, that You Can Make It Happen. That was the first book I read.
Right,
I said, because
right.
I know our book is coming out around the same time. And I read your book. I'm like, man, you really made it simple. You know, you broke it down into a step-by-step. You follow this, you'll get there. I love it.
Yeah, it was my step.
Yeah.
I mean, it was my ability to take that. I discovered that through my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
I created a process that I've learned throughout the years that allowed me to focus on my development and create self-empowerment for me and focus on self as a way to begin to build a foundation for excellence and performance.
Wow.
And I didn't have that before because you're oftentimes limited by the outside world based on their system and based on their process. And you do what other people tell you.
Right.
You never do anything for yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So when I discovered, this is about self.
Mm.
Self-empowerment, self-efficacy, self-development, self-discipline, self-improvement.
Yes.
It's the self.
Wow.
And when you don't focus on self, like you've been using that product, focusing on
self. Yes.
So, which is why you look through great. You're doing so well. So when you don't focus on self, then the world says, well, if you're not using your talents and skills, I'm going to use you.
Exactly.
And I'm going to build you. I'm going to create you.
Wow.
And I'm going to do what I want you to do.
Mm.
So you have to take your power back. Eliminate all the labels, because we're defined by the labels, the racial labels, the gender labels, the religious labels, all the labels that define us, right? And put us in a box and control our thinking.
Mm.
So when you start to take your power back and learn how to take information and education and make it relevant, it's called reading every day.
Yes.
Okay. Changing your mindset. Einstein said you cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that caused it, right?
Right.
When you start to be able to think outside the box and think beyond your circumstances and realize that, you know, you're not going anywhere if you're doing the same thing over and over every single day, that you have to change the way that you operate on a daily basis.
Yes.
And everyone is equal because everybody has 24 hours. So the question is, what do you do with your 24 hours? So your ability to self-actualize your potential is based on what do you do on a daily basis.
Yes.
That will determine your value and your worth that week, that month, and that year.
Thank you, Stedman Graham, for those powerful, inspirational words. We look forward to part two of this interview. Hey, folks, be sure to go to our website, www.herbertharris.com, for more information about our programs and products. If you would like more information about Protandem, the anti-aging product that I shared with Stedman, please drop me an email at herbert@herbertharris.com. I would also like to hear from you about some of your challenges or victories that you have overcome. Our closing affirmation is, you are never too old to set another goal or to dream another dream. C.S. Lewis. Let me repeat that. You are never too old to set another goal or to dream another dream. C.S. Lewis. Your assignment for this week is to identify someone in your life whose encouragement was extremely important, who impacted your life direction. Think about that person. Write their name and write what they did to encourage you, to uplift you, to help you. If you like, send me an email about this experience so that I can share it with our listeners. Send your email to Herbert@HerbertHarris.com. Remember, we are where we are because of the decisions we make and the actions we take. Choose success. Choose wealth. We each have the ability to create the lives we desire by changing our thoughts, our feelings, our habits, and our associations. So choose the life you desire in your thoughts. Feel the life you desire in your feelings. Cultivate habits that support the life you desire. And surround yourself with people who love you, inspire you, who lift you up, and who help you create the life of your dreams, knowing that the best is yet to come. This is Dr. Herbert Harris with another edition of the Millionaire Mentorship Show. Thank you for joining us.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Vashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
Hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.